further, you insist that he put this mud into a wheelbarrow with his hands. No need to ask what state he will be in when he has finished. Nonetheless, our group of extraterrestrials founded their line that became the ancestors of present-day Jews. The Bible was written later by scribes who retraced the history of these people, distorting it, as legend became mixed with reality. I can affirm for you that the Adam of the Bible was, not only, not the first man on earth, far from it, but he was called Rob Bannon and he didn't have a wife called Eve but two wives named Livia and Dinah. The race of Jews developed from these three, without mixing with other races because, by atavism, they felt themselves superior, and indeed they were. However, I must assure you that the original Bible is not the product of the scribe's imagination, nor is it embellished. There was much truth in it. I say was because in the various councils of the Roman Catholic Church, the Bible has been greatly revised, for reasons which are clear, to serve the needs of Christianity. This is why I said yesterday, that religions are one of the curses of earth. I must also enlighten you in regard to several other biblical points. Shortly after the arrival of the Hebrews on earth, we helped them on several occasions. We also punished them. For example, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was caused by one of our space vehicles. The people of those two towns were presenting a bad example and acting dangerously for the people in contact with them. We tried various means in an endeavor to put them back on the right track, but in vain. We had to be ruthless. Each time that you read in the Bible, and the Lord God said this or that, you should read and the inhabitants of Thyatira said. Why not save them in the beginning and take them back to their planet or to another of the same category? That is, of course, a reasonable question, Michelle. But there is a snag. We can't predict the future more than 100 years in advance. We thought, at the time, that, being such a small group, they might not survive and, if they did, they would mix with other races and thus be absorbed by other peoples and rendered impure. We guessed that this would occur within a century, but such was not the case. Even now, as you know, the race is still almost as pure as it was 12,000 years ago. As I told you, by means of religious councils, priests erased or changed many things in the Bible, but others survived and can easily be explained. In chapter 18, verse the scribe refers to our appearance at that time, saying, "The Lord God appeared unto him among the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance to his tent in the heat of day." The scribe is speaking of Abraham in this chapter. God has never spoken, in the oldest available. The Hebrew version of the Bible Yehovah is one of many synonyms for God. All other translations mix them up completely, replacing the exact names by Father or God. From the Hebrew version it is clear that it was Yehovah who talked to people, appeared in the human form, made miracles and not God. From the information contained in this book it is clear that God is God, the Great Spirit, and Yehovah equals Thyatira. In the context of this single detail, the entire Bible makes much more sense and becomes fascinating reading. Editor, apostrophe he, Abraham, looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them he ran to them and fell to the ground before them. And he said, "Lord and Master, if I have found grace in your eyes, I beg you not to go far from your servant." Abraham invites the three men to stay. The scribe refers to them as men 1 minute and yet one of them is also called the Lord God. He speaks to them and each time, it is the one referred to as the Lord God who replies. Now, the priests of the Roman Catholic Church find this in formal contradiction with their views, as do many other religions, for they will tell you that no one can imagine the face of God, that one would be blinded by it. In a sense they are right, since the Creator, being a pure spirit, has no face. According to the scribe, Abraham converses with the Lord God as he would with a high-ranking lord on earth. And the Lord God answers him and is accompanied by two other men. The scribe does not speak of angels. Isn't it odd that God comes down to earth in the form of a man, accompanied, not by angels, but by men? Actually, there, and in many other places in the Bible, It is easy for someone of good faith to see that God has never spoken to any human being. He could not have done so, since it is astral bodies which aspire towards him and not God who leans towards them. That would be like a river flowing backwards. You have never seen a river flowing from the sea to the mountaintop, have you? A passage from the Bible, 2 pages further on from the one just mentioned, is also quite amusing. Chapter 19, verse. The two angels arrived in Sodom, and Lot was seated at the gates to Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to go and kiss the ground in front of them. Then he manages to get them to go to his house, and suddenly, in verse 5, they called Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who entered your house?" Now the scribe is referring to them as men. Next, in verse 10, the men reached out, made Lot come inside and closed the door, and they struck blind everyone at the entrance to the house, from the smallest to the largest person, so that it was useless for them to try to find the door. It is easy to see the lack of precision in this passage, where the scribe begins by speaking of two angels, then speaks of two men, and then describes two men striking people blind. According to the Bible, such a miracle requires at least an angel. There, my dear, is another good example of confusion in earthly scripts. The men were quite simply our men from Thyatira. Thus we guided and helped the Jews, for it would have been a shame to let a race so spiritually evolved sink back into ignorance and savagery only because it had accidentally committed the error of coming to a planet which was not appropriate for it. We helped them in the centuries that followed, and it is this that certain scribes have tried to explain by writing the accounts that have formed the Bible. Often they were in good faith, at times, they have distorted the facts, although not purposely. The only times this distortion was purposely done, and for very specific reasons, as I have said, was by the Roman Church during the councils of Nicaea AD 325, Constantinople in AD 381, Ephesus in AD 431 and Chalcedonian in AD 451. There were others too, but of lesser significance. The Bible is not the book of God, as many people on earth believe it to be. It is simply a document of ancient history, much modified and full of embellishments, added by writers different from the original scribes. For example, let's go back to Egypt and the time of the Exodus, which interests people on earth. I'm going to restore the truth concerning this, for you and for others, before going further. Let's go back, then, to Egypt, where we find that the descendants of the cosmonauts have become the Hebrew people, the name deriving from that of their planet, Hebra. Since arriving accidentally on your planet, this race has experienced great difficulties. It experienced them then and it experiences them still. As you know, the Jews are very intelligent by comparison with other races. They have a religion which is quite different, and they don't mix with other races. Marriages are almost always among their own kind. Because of inexorable universal law, they have always suffered persecution, much of which has occurred in recent times. As a result, their astral bodies were liberated and therefore able to proceed directly to more highly evolved planets where they belong. As you also know, a group of Hebrews traveled with Joseph, son of Jacob, into Egypt, where they established a line, only to end up being hated by the Egyptians and always for the same unstated reasons, their intelligence and, particularly, their solidarity in the face of adversity. Action was needed. Chapter 11. Who was Christ? This occurred during the time of the Pharaoh Seti I. It was a time when the people of earth had all become materialistic. In Egypt, it was common in high society to take drugs, likewise, in Greece. Fornication with animals was by no means rare, something which is absolutely contrary to nature and universal law. Our mission being to help when it was deemed necessary, we decided to change the course that history was taking, by intervening at this point. We had to get the Hebrews out of Egypt, for they could no longer evolve as a free people while under the evil domination of the Egyptians. It was decided to send a man, capable and just, to lead the Hebrews from Egypt and back to the land they had occupied previously, that is, soon after their arrival on earth. On the planet Naxiti, a planet of the 8th category, a man by the name of Xiuxtun had just died. His astral body was waiting to be reincarnated on Thiouba, when it was put to him, that instead, he might be the liberator of the Hebrews. He agreed to this and went to Earth as Moses. Moses, then, was born in Egypt of Egyptian parents. His father was the equivalent of a sub-lieutenant in the army. Moses was not born a Hebrew, that is yet another error in the Bible. The story of the little Hebrew baby set adrift in the water and rescued by a princess is very romantic, but incorrect. What a shame. I always loved that story. It's quite wonderful, like a fairy story. Fairy tales are indeed very pretty, Michelle, but you must concern yourself with the truth, not fantasy. Promise me that you will only report what is the truth. Of course, have no fear, Thal. Your instructions will be followed to the letter, so to speak. I was explaining then, that Moses was born in an Egyptian, military family. His father's name was Lathuts. Until the age of 10, Moses played often with the Hebrew children. A pretty and amiable child, he was popular with the Hebrew mothers who indulged him with offerings of sweets. In turn, they won his heart and he came to love his Hebrew friends like brothers. This is why he was incarnated, of course, but you must realize that, after having seen his life as Moses flash before him, and, after accepting to live that life, all details of it were erased from his memory. He passed through what certain Nagas have called the River of Oblivion. This happens whether one accepts or rejects a possible reincarnation. Of course, there is a reason for it. If, for example, you remembered that, around 40 years of age, you would lose your wife and two cherished children in a car accident and that you, yourself, would be confined to a wheelchair, the knowledge could tempt you to take your life rather than face up to your troubles, or it might lead you to behave badly in other spheres. So, the film is erased, in something like the way you wipe out a tape recording. Occasionally, by accident, the machine does not erase everything and you can hear brief portions of what should have been erased. Of course, my analogies are fanciful when I speak of films and tape recordings, but I hope they give you an idea of what I am trying to explain. In reality, the process involves electrophotonics, which mean nothing, yet, to people on Earth. This, in fact, occurs often in the films that the higher self shows to an astral body. Which is why most people say, on several occasions in the course of their lives, I have seen that before or I have heard that before, and they know what the very next action or word will be. In English, people call this feeling déjà vu. Yes, I understand well what you are saying. The strangest such experience that I have had was when I was in French Equatorial Africa. I was in the army and we were on maneuvers about 600 kilometers from base. We were approaching the Chad border and I was standing with other soldiers in the back of a troop carrier facing the road. Suddenly, I recognized the road as if I'd been there just a fortnight before. I was as though hypnotized by this stretch of road that ended with a right-angled bend. I recognized the road, however, I was also sure that, around the bend, I was going to see a little straw hut, all by itself, sheltered by a mango tree. I was increasingly convinced that such would be the case and, when the truck took the bend, there it was, a lone straw hut beneath a mango tree. And then it was over, I recognized nothing more. My face turned white. My nearest companion asked me if I was feeling all right, and I explained what had happened. His response was, "You must have come here as a kid." I knew that my parents had never set foot in Africa but I still wrote to them. So strongly had the experience affected me. Their reply was, "No, and you never left us to make any such accompanied journeys when you were little." So, my friend suggested that I might have gone there during a previous existence, for he was a believer in reincarnation. What do you think of that? It's what I've just explained to you, Michelle. Quite a long segment of your film was not erased for you and I'm glad. For it illustrates very well what I was explaining to you in regard to Moses. He wanted to help the Hebrews but, as he chose to enter that world by the usual means, as a newborn baby, he was obliged to forget what the course of his life would be. However, in rare cases such as this one, the astral body is so charged with knowledge and experience from previous lives, that it has no trouble adapting to what it must learn in its new physical body. Moses was also advantaged in that he was sent to a good school with numerous facilities. He was enormously successful in his studies and gained entry into a much higher school of science, headed by priests and Egyptian experts. At this time, the Egyptians still had high schools which catered for a very limited elite, teaching some of the learnings Thoth brought from Atlantis a long time previously. He was near finishing his studies, when he was witness to an incident that had great significance in his life. Still feeling great friendship towards the Hebrews, he often walked with them, despite the urgent recommendations of his father not to do so. The Hebrews were becoming increasingly despised by the Egyptians, and his father advised Moses not to mix with this race. Nevertheless, on this day he was walking in the vicinity of a building site where Hebrews were working under the directions of Egyptian soldiers. From afar he saw a soldier hit a Hebrew, who fell to the ground. Before he could intervene, a group of Hebrews threw themselves on the soldier and killed him. Then they buried him quickly in foundations being made to hold an enormous column. Moses didn't know what to do, but he was seen by a couple of the Hebrews as he moved away. Believing he would denounce them, the Hebrews panicked and hastened to spread the word that it was Moses who had killed the soldier. When he arrived home, his father was waiting for him and advised him to go, immediately, into the desert. The Bible's story that he went to the country of Madian is true, as is the report of his marriage to the daughter of the priest of Madian. I am not going to elaborate further on the details. We wanted to save these people from the slavery into which they had fallen and, worse, from the clutches of evil priests who were a danger to their psyche. More than 1,000,000 years earlier, we had saved another group of people from the hands of other dangerous priests, if you recall, and, interestingly, it was in practically the same location. Do you see how history is just a perpetual recommencement? Moses led the Hebrews from Egypt much as it is described in the Bible, but, before proceeding, I must rectify certain errors, since we know that many people on earth are greatly interested in this famous Exodus. First of all, the Pharaoh at the time was Ramses II, who was successor to Seti I next. The Hebrews numbered 375,000 and, when they arrived at the Sea of Reeds, and not the Red Sea, our spaceships, numbering 3, opened the waters, which were quite shallow, by means of our force field. We allowed the waters to close again, but not a single Egyptian soldier drowned, simply because they hadn't followed the Hebrews into the water. The Pharaoh, in spite of enormous pressure from the priests, did not retract his promise and let the Hebrews leave. The manna, distributed every day, came from our spacecraft. I must explain to you that manna is not only very nourishing, as you know, but also very compactable, which is why many spaceships carry it on board. However, if you leave manna too long exposed to the air, it becomes soft and rots within 18 hours. That's why we recommended that the Hebrews take only as much as they needed for each day, and those who took more, soon saw they had made a mistake and that they should have followed the advice of the Lord God, who was actually us. The Hebrews did not take 40 years to reach Canaan, but only 3.5 years. Lastly, the story of Mount Sinai is almost true. We landed on the mountain so as not to be seen by the people. It was preferable at the time, for these simple people to believe in a god, rather than in extraterrestrials who watched over them and helped them. So that is the explanation of the Hebrew people, Michel, but it isn't finished. In our eyes, these were the only people who followed the right direction, that is, the direction of spirituality. Among them, and, later, among their great priests, there were some who rumored that a Messiah was going to come and save them. They should not have told the people that, for they were reporting a part of the conversation we had with Moses on Mount Sinai. Since then, The Hebrews have been waiting for the arrival of the Messiah, and yet, he has already come. Let's now jump in time. The Hebrews, back again in the land they had originally settled, were now better organized. They established a civilization notable for great royal legislators such as Solomon and David, to name but two. We observed that these people, following Solomon's death, were heading towards anarchy and allowing themselves to be influenced by evil priests. Alexander the Great invaded Egypt but, in the end, did nothing constructive for the world. The Romans succeeded him, building an immense empire that was oriented more towards materialism than spirituality. The great peoples, such as the Romans, were technologically advanced for their time, relatively speaking, of course. But they brought with them a smattering of gods and beliefs, just enough to cause spiritual confusion, and, certainly, not enough to lead the people to universal truth. This time, we decided to give a big hand. Rather than give it in a spiritually sterile land like Rome, we did it in Israel, thinking that the Hebrews were very intelligent, having ancestors who were spiritually highly advanced. We considered them adequate to propagate universal truth. The Hebrew people were unanimously elected by the great Thari. On earth, they were referred to as the chosen people and the name could not be more appropriate. They were indeed chosen. Our plan was to capture public imagination by sending a messenger of peace. The story of the birth of Jesus, as you know it, with the Virgin Mary as mother, is quite true. The appearance of an angel at the Annunciation is correct in every detail. We sent a spaceship and one of us appeared before the Virgin, who was indeed a virgin, telling her she was going to become pregnant. The embryo was implanted in her while she was under hypnosis. I see, Michelle, you are having enormous difficulty believing what I have been saying. Never forget that we have the knowledge, you have not seen one-tenth of what we can do. Attend carefully and I will give you a few examples to help you understand what I'm going to tell you. Thou stopped talking and appeared to be concentrating. As I watched, her face became a blur and, instinctively, I rubbed my eyes. Of course, this did not help and, in fact, she became progressively transparent until I could see right through her. Finally, she was no longer there, she had completely disappeared. Thou, I called, slightly concerned, where are you? Here, Michelle. I jumped, for the voice came as a whisper, quite close to my ear. But you are completely invisible. Now, yes, but you are going to see me again. Look. My goodness, what has happened to you? Several feet in front of me, I saw the silhouette of Thou, completely golden yet radiant, as though inside her there burned a fire, its flames brief but intense. As for her face, it was recognizable but her eyes seemed to send forth little rays each time she spoke. She began to rise a few feet above the ground, without having moved a muscle of her body, then she started to circle the room, so fast I had trouble keeping my eyes on her. She stopped, eventually, above her seat and sat her ghostly form down. It was as though she were made of a shining mist, she was still recognizable as Thou and yet, quite transparent. The next instant she was gone. I looked around, but she had completely vanished. Look no further, Michelle, I am back. Indeed, there she was, in flesh and bone again, sitting on her seat. How do you do that? As I was just explaining to you, we have the knowledge. We can revive the dead, cure deaf and the blind, make people walk who are paralyzed, we can cure any malady you care to name. We are masters, not of nature, but in nature, and we can do the thing most difficult of all, we can generate life spontaneously. Out of the release of cosmic ray, we can create any type of living creature, including man. You mean that you have mastered the test tube, baby? Not at all, Michelle. You reason like an earthling. We can create a human body, but that is done only by the great Thari, taking infinite care, for the human body must be inhabited by several bodies, as you are aware, the physiological, the astral etc. If not, it would merely be a robot. Perfect knowledge is therefore required for such an undertaking. So, how much time do you need to create a baby? You have not quite grasped what I am saying, Michelle. I am speaking, not of a baby but, in this case, of an adult human being. A man of 20 or 30 years of age can be created by the Thari in approximately 24 of your Earth hours. As one might expect, I was completely stunned by this disclosure. I had traveled in a spaceship at a speed several times that of light and had found myself billions of kilometers from my home. I had met extraterrestrials, traveled in astral body, journeyed in time to witness scenes that occurred thousands of years ago. I could now see auras and understand languages I'd never heard before. I had even visited, briefly, Earth's parallel universe. I thought I knew what there was to be known, by an Earthling, of these people and their capabilities, thanks to the explanations given to me. Now, it seemed I was being told that what I'd been presented with was like an hors d'oeuvre. My hosts could create a living human being in 24 hours. Thou was watching me, reading me like an open book. Now that you follow my meaning, Michelle, I'll finish the story which is going to interest so many of your fellow men, insofar as the Bible has distorted it a little. So, our angel implanted an embryo, so that Mary, a virgin, found herself pregnant. By acting in this way, we hoped to attract the attention of the people and emphasize that the coming of Jesus was really a remarkable event. On the birth of the child, we appeared before the shepherds in the same way that I demonstrated a few moments ago. We didn't send the three famous wise men, they are part of the legend that has been grafted on to real events. However, we did guide the shepherds and a group of the people towards the spot where Jesus was born. This was accomplished by sending forth one of our spheres and rendering it luminous. The optical effect thereby created, made it, indeed, resemble a star over Bethlehem. Nowadays, if we were to do such a thing, people would be crying, UFO. Eventually the priests, and those whom the priests named prophets, learned of the birth. In view of the phenomena of the star and the angels, the prophets announced to the people, the birth of the Messiah, referring to him as the King of the Jews. King Herod, however, had spies in all quarters, as most leaders do. When they reported these remarkable events to him, he found it all difficult to understand and became frightened. In those times, the lives of the people were worth little to their leaders, and Herod had no qualms about ordering the deaths of 2,606 babies in the region. While these deaths were being carried out, we evacuated, under hypnosis, Mary, Joseph and the baby Jesus, as well as two donkeys, in our spaceship, depositing them in a spot quite close to Egypt. Do you see how the facts have been distorted? Now, there are other details which were reported conscientiously, but they are inaccurate due to lack of information. Let me explain. The baby Jesus, born in Bethlehem, proved, by the miracles pertaining to his birth, that he was quite special and was, in fact, the Messiah. So, we had captured the imagination of the people but, when a baby is born, its astral body cannot know all in regards to its previous knowledge. This was the case of Moses too, and yet he was a great person. We required a messenger who would be able to persuade humanity that there was another life beyond this one, through reincarnation of the astral body, etc. This was no longer commonly accepted since civilization on Earth had become more and more degraded following the disappearance of Atlantis. You know that, when you want to explain something that is not a material fact, even to your closest friends, you are confronted by skepticism. People seek material proof and, if they don't see it with their own eyes, they won't believe. In order to transmit our message, we needed someone who behaved like an extraordinary being, like someone coming from the heavens, who performed what would appear to be miracles. Such a person would be believed and his teachings would be listened to. As you know, an astral body being reincarnated as a baby, passes through the river of oblivion and his earlier material knowledge is effaced. Therefore, the child born in Bethlehem would not have been able to perform miracles even if he lived to 100 years of age. However, he was a superior being, like Moses. This is proven, By the way, he astonished temple doctors at the age of 12. Like the very young people now on Earth, who are called geniuses because they seem to have a calculation in their heads, Jesus was a human being inhabited by a highly evolved astral body.